Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful you've tuned in. And today is the 4th of July, a very special date in the history of really not just our nation, but the world. God has set America apart for himself to shine the light of his goodness, and we are just asking people to join us. And really the first thing that we need to do today, which I thank God that someone had brought that up, which is to give our nation, our people, to him in prayer. And I just want to start off with saying hello to everybody, and I'm going to ask Miss Barbara Moore, our co-host, to come on as she always does, which is really to set us on the right foundation, which is to ask God to be Lord of this conversation. That's really all this radio show is. It's among, you know, the people with like-minded, with a heart for God, to have a conversation with him at the center. So, hi, Miss Barbara. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Diana. I'm just so grateful that we can get together like this morning. The very thing that we should be doing, we're going to be able to do, to gather together before the Lord. You know, John Adams spoke about this day. On this day, those many years ago, in 1776, and he was writing to his wife Abigail, in fact wrote to her twice, but he said that he believed that this day would be celebrated throughout the years and with many solemn acts to Almighty God. That was the first thing he said. He also said there would be great celebrations of fireworks and all manner of celebrating, but at the beginning he said to celebrate with solemnity, with acts to Almighty God. And today, that's what we're going to be doing. I just love it. I'm so grateful. Well, let's begin. Father, our dear Heavenly Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, O God. And we thank you, Father, that it is in your Son, Jesus, that we can approach your throne of mercy and grace and come before you, Lord, O gracious, magnificent God of all creation, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father God, our Father, our rock, our hope. You are God Almighty, and there is no other. There is none above you. There is none beside you. There is none like unto you, O God, and we worship you. We gather together today, and we worship you, O God. You are our God. You are. You are. Father, your word says that we seek the Lord. We sought the Lord, and he heard us. It says that in Psalms, Lord. You gave that to me yesterday. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Thank you, O God, that your ears are open to our prayers. But, Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we do enter your courts with praise. What a privilege it is, O God, to praise you, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who always was and always will be. Glory to you, O God. Glory, glory, all glory to you, O God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal to us yourself, Lord, in your word. And in many different ways, Father, that we have an understanding of you, Father, a picture of you, of who you are and who you desire to be to us. You are the captain of the host. You are Almighty God, the Rock of Ages, the All-Powerful One, the All-Knowing One. And you are the bright and morning star. You are the light of the world. You are light. And you said, let there be light, and there was light. We thank you, Father God, that you are the sweet rose of Sharon. Father, your word tells us that our prayers are a sweet incense unto you, O God, a sweet fragrance unto you, O Lord. But you are the sweet rose of Sharon, sweet Father. We thank you, Father, you are the lily of the valley, the sweet balm of Gilead. Father, when we're wounded, you give of yourself to us to heal us, O God. You are who you are, and we worship you. We praise you. You created the universe, Father, with your power. And yet, Father, you look down upon us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You created it all for us. We are the apple of your eye, O Lord. You desire to have a relationship with us and to give all of this to us, Lord. You are the generous, generous giver of all that is good and true and holy and noble and pure and kind. Father, we praise you. We worship you for who you are. I pray, Father, that we will all come before you this morning with grateful hearts, Lord, giving you thanks, giving you honor. You are worthy of all glory. You are worthy of all honor. Father, we would be remiss if we did not come before you in humility. asking you, Father, to forgive us for those times that we have sought honor, glory that belong to you, O Lord. Forgive us, O God. Have mercy on us, O God. Cleanse us, O God, of all unrighteousness. We're thankful, Father, that you impart the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, Savior, Lord, and King. You impart his righteousness to us so that when you look upon us, Father, you don't see us without the shed blood of Christ, looking through that blood to us, that when you look upon us, oh God, you see your only Son. We thank you, Father. You are too holy to look upon sin, and so you cannot look upon us except through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God. And now, Father, let us begin, Lord. Let us begin, Father, to express our love for you. To express, Lord, that which is in our hearts and minds that you need to hear, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit would empower us, O God, during this time that we have together with you. Holy Spirit, come. Come, be with us, be within us. To do your will, O God, to do your will and to do your pleasure. Be honored, Father. Be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. And that is just really so fitting, Miss Barbara. I asked God for a word, and he turned me to Luke 1, which is to the Magnificat, Mary's Song of Praise. And Miss Barbara, I think we just heard such a praise from you. And I think that's what God wants from us. But I'm going to turn this over to our friend in Williamstown, Virginia, who really was the one that brought this up. She just had a vision and a word from the Lord of what we need to be doing. So I'm going to turn this over to our friend Patty and let her take over. Hi, Patty.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy 4th of July. We just had a 4th of July parade. So if you heard all the sirens, I don't want to apologize because I wrote down here on my tablet that it was a triumphal procession, victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise God. But I want to see if Robin or Marlis is on the line.
Robin is here. God bless you all.
God bless
and
you.
And I'm here too, Patty. Hi.
Okay, this is, ladies, this is Marlis Johnson. She is one of the lead intercessors at the church that we attend here in Williamsburg. And Marlis, if I could turn it over to Marlis, she had the prophetic word. And Robin had suggested to LCD, Love Covenant Daughters, that we really needed to act upon Marlis's prophetic word that she brought forth this Sunday at the church service. And so it just really bore witness in my spirit. And so this is why we're here today. This is why we gathered, because it is so significant, the word that Marlis had, that relates to the 4th of July. And Marlis, if you don't recall it verbatim, Robin had jotted it down. So
okay, good. I actually wrote some things this morning, too, so I wouldn't forget.
Okay, praise God. I'm going to turn it over to you, Marlis.
Okay. All right. Sunday morning, it hadn't been too far into worship, and I sensed a powerful angelic presence coming into the sanctuary there in Williamsburg. And I asked the Lord, "Lord, what am I feeling?" And he said, "I've sent angels in, I could tell they had a lot of clout in the spirit realm. It's hard to find the right word to use, a lot of prestige and respect and authority. And I knew there were a lot of them, and they were very serious, solemn angels. And I said, Lord, how many are there? And he said, 13. He said that they represented the 13 colonies.
Hallelujah.
They helped to craft the Declaration of Independence, and they were there the day it was signed. And I thought, oh, my God, why are they here, you know, at our little church in Williamsburg on this day? And he said that they were there because I believe it's the intercession that we've been doing. Patty's been doing Friday night. I've been a part of it Tuesday night for a year now. Intercessory meetings where we're praying and crying out for awakening and revival, and we're repenting for the sins of our nation and the church. And I knew that those angels were there because they were looking for a people who would stand in the gap for our nation and repent for how we have gotten so far off track from the original intentions that God has for this nation. And anyway, I went up to Brian, our pastor, and shared with him what the Lord had shown me, and he got up later after worship and shared that what I had seen. And he said as soon as I told him that, he immediately saw those angels. There's 12, what did he call it, Patty? There's 12 sections of the church. Our church sanctuary is in like a circle.
Yes, it's like a dome shape. And I also know that there is 12 entryways into Williamsburg. So it's
okay, yeah, that's right, there is. 12 gates.
Yes. 12
but there's
gates.
12, like,
exactly.
Sections, and the way the ceiling is, it's like a portal. There's this heavenly portal. He said he saw the 12 angels in those 12 sections, and then the 13th one was in the center. And later on, I mean, the service was awesome, but I think most of the people had already left, and I was still in such a place in the spirit, and I still saw those angels, and they still looked very solemn and serious, and I knew we hadn't given them what they came for. So I went and grabbed a couple young men in our congregation that I know are intercessors, and Jeff Patterson and John Farina, our youth pastor, who's been leading our Tuesday intercession. And because the Lord was saying that we needed to, and I wrote this down this morning, he said we needed to reset the coordinates of earth to match the coordinates of heaven, to bring that alignment back with the original intentions. And so Jeff started praying. I knew that he had been a part of IHOP in Kansas City for years, and he and his wife used to go out on those, where they go to abortion clinics and put those life things over their tape over their mouths, and he repented for that, and his father actually got up and repented, and so it was a powerful time. And then as we started doing that towards the end Sunday, I sensed the movement with the angels, where before they had just been like stationary, and I sensed them moving, and I felt like we'd finally given them what they had come for, something to work with. It's just the beginning, I know, but anyway, is that what you wanted me to share, Patty?
Yes, yes, and we are going to, you know, pray into that. I want to share where the Lord took me this morning. The dog woke me up at 5 o'clock, which was okay, and didn't go back to bed because I was just so excited. And I started reading and praying, and he took me to a book that I had read a while back and had just, you know, kind of laid it to the side. Well, this morning I picked it back up. I felt led to pick it back up. And it just so happened that it was a young man that works with Reinhard Bonnke, and he's a great evangelist who has drawn in millions and millions of souls into the harvest. He does crusades and so forth, a lot dealing in Africa. But the point is, it just so happened that I was on a chapter where it spoke like an open heaven or something to that effect, but it was really pertaining to what we were going to be doing this morning. And the author, this young man, he started speaking of the Great Awakening and Charles Finney, and how Charles Finney, you know, had brought in so many souls and had transformed cities and the nation, this nation, had brought us back, you know, to the very foundations of what it was based on, our forefathers, godly principles. But he also mentioned that there was a man that most people don't know, and his name was Daniel Nash, and he was an intercessor. And Daniel Nash would go before Charles Finney to, like, prepare the way in intercession and prayer. So without the intercessory prayer, this awakening, this movement, this drawing back of the hearts to the fathers and to our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not happen. And that's what God wants us to do, is to, you know, intercede for his glory to be just to flood this whole earth, as the scripture says, that, you know, the glory of God will just flood the earth like the sea. And so I just thought that was so significant that God had me to pick that book right back up. And then, you know, of course, he started speaking of some other great revivalists. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to act upon this prophetic word that Marlis had, because, you know, it's not only for our church. God, you know, God is so much bigger. It's for the United States. It's for the nation. And it's going to go beyond that.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Diana?
Oh, thank you. I was just really just amazed at all that has been shared, Miss Barbara. And so I ask, Patty, do you want to begin this prayer meeting with you? Or should we do it first with Miss Marlis, letting her start?
Sure.
Diana?
And okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miss Barbara.
Yes, I just wanted to confirm what Patty had said about the prayer, the necessity of intercession before God acts, as in the Great Awakening. And going back to the very first Great Awakening in the 1730s, there was a great deal of intercession in the colonies before that first Great Awakening. And to kind of give you an illustration of it, the Lord chose one of the least likely pastors, Jonathan Edwards, to be the lightning rod that swept through the colonies. Jonathan Edwards was the most studious scholar of the day. In fact, he was considered to be one of the most brilliant men, one of the a genius, one of the three in the world at that time. And his sermons that he preached were very scholarly, very long, and never a hint of emotion. He read his sermons from the pulpit. He read them in what has been described as a monotone. And indeed, that's how he read his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, in which God just sent his Holy Spirit and used his and brought about the beginning of the Great Awakening in the New England colonies. But Jonathan Edwards was the least likely pastor. And so, you know, we don't know what God's going to, or how he's going to, or with whom he's going to use. You know, he is God, and it is his choice. But I just wanted to share that it may be the most unlikely person that God uses, but that prayer, a great deal of prayer, a decade or perhaps decades of prayer preceded the lightning rod of the Great Awakening in this country. Thank you.
Ms. Barbara, I just want to say something about what you just said, too, because we have a friend, Susan Zawicki, who talked about that sermon And, you know, from the way she talked, Miss Barbara, because you have shared with me how that moved the nation, that that had to be given by a very powerful, you know, spectacular, great orator, you know, speaker. But then when he told us the truth, he served it in monotone voice. You know it had to be God because, yes, it changed the nation.
Yes. Yes.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that, Ms. Farrell. We are on the right track. We're just really willing servants for the Lord. And I just think about the story of, you know, the women that saw the tomb and shared and shouted it, you know, he is risen. You know, the tomb is empty. And that, in a way, is what we're doing here. We're taking our rightful place of, you know, sharing the good news. He is risen. And we want to praise him just as Mary did in that magnificent prayer, song of praise in Luke 1. So I'm going to turn this over. Let's see.
Diana, before you turn it over to Marlis, one of the ladies here, Patty, she has the scripture. And I also want to reiterate that we will be taking communion later. So let me let Patty share the scripture before we... I'll turn it over to Marlis.
Hi, Diana. Hi, Barbara.
Hey.
Hi, my ladies from Alabama. I just wanted to share with you. Do you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I just wanted to share with you. The Lord actually shared this with me this morning, just not too long ago, and it was kind of resonating in my spirit, and I was trying to find the exact scripture. So another Loreed in here and I were scrambling to try to find it, and we did. It's 2nd, and I know you guys have heard this, and maybe it's even in your spirit as well, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read that, and we're just going to let the Lord do what he needs to do with this. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place.
Mm-hmm.
I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And I just, that to me is like the scripture for today. I mean, for what we are doing, we're coming, you know, before him, and we're crying out for our land, and like what Patty was saying, and what Marlis was saying about repenting, and God has called us all together for a specific purpose, and each one of us have, you know, a very important part to play in it, and God, of course, is going to show us what that part is in the, you know, coming time, but I'm just really excited that, you know, that we met you guys, our Alabama sisters, and I'm so excited that Marlis is here. We're just so excited. She's like the key lady at Green Springs, and we love her. And we just in case we haven't said we do, we love you, and we're so grateful to you, and we just want you to pour into us. And so I'll just go ahead and turn it back over to Patty, and we can, you know, continue our prayer. But I just wanted to say that, and I love all of you guys.
Thank you. Love you too. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Holy One. Marlis, if you want to go ahead and start leading us, unless someone else has another scripture they want to share.
Patty, if you allow me, I would like to read exactly the words that she spoke for us, because those were powerful words.
Okay. Go right ahead, Robin.
Okay, the word is like this. It says, realign the hearts, O nation, church, community. We speak alignment to the womb, and we need a blood transfusion. We have 13 angels in this section, and they represent authority and power. They were witnesses of the Declaration of Independence. They witnessed our nation, and they see that it is the king. So we speak awakening to our land. We will see this also in other nations. Amen, amen.
Mm.
Yes,
hallelujah. I didn't remember all that.
Bless Robin's heart. She is our scribe.
Wow. See, when the Holy Spirit takes over, you don't even know what he's doing with you sometimes.
Amen. Amen.
Are you
that's
wanting...
That's why we need one another. Hallelujah.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. You want to start praying now, Patty?
Yes, please.
Okay. Wow, Father, I didn't know this was going to happen. I don't even really know who all I'm praying with, but I know we are of the same spirit and mind and heart with you. Father, on this day, Father, where we celebrate independence, the signing of this amazing document that I was reading this morning. I've never read the whole thing before, but it must be very important to you, Lord, for you to have sent those angels to our congregation on Sunday morning. And Father, we do humbly come before you this day, mighty God, to realign this nation with your heart, Lord, with the very purposes and intentions that were in your heart from the beginning, Father, to see this nation birthed, to be a holy nation, to be a Christian nation, to would be a nation that would give refuge to, Lord, the poor and the helpless, to give refuge to the Jewish people, Father. Lord, that this would be a land where people could truly pursue happiness. I believe stands for the God-given destinies that you have given to each one of us, Lord. It is a place of pursuing liberty and freedom that you bought for us, Lord Jesus, on the cross. That is the freedom that we contend for this day. It is not the freedom that government enacts its laws to give. Lord, those are supposed to support the freedoms that you have ordained and bought on the cross. Lord, and this nation has been getting so far off of the compass of your heart, of that plumb line, oh God. And we are teetering and tottering on the edge. The other thing I saw with those angels was a window that was two-thirds closed. It was only a third open. And you were saying we have yet a small window of opportunity to stand in the gap for this nation to repent of its many sins, Lord Jesus, and to break that open, Lord. We don't just want a window open. We want the heavens opened over this nation again, Lord Jesus. We are asking for that great awakening. We are asking for a spirit of the fear of the Lord to come upon this nation once again. Lord, we are repenting for the church first of all, Lord, where we have not stood for righteousness and justice, Lord Jesus, where we have allowed the fear of man and we have given place to Jezebel and a religious spirit in our churches, Lord, where we have held to a form of godliness, but we have denied the power, oh God, that you have given us. We have allowed so many things, the same things that are in this nation are in the church, Lord. So we repent, first of all, for what we have allowed into our lives, our families, our churches, and ultimately this nation, Father. Lord, for the sin of abortion, that's a legal abomination in this nation, Father God. And we ask for forgiveness and mercy for the blood that is crying out from this land, oh God, before you. Lord, we repent for the sin of adultery and divorce and parents not taking their rightful places and allowing others to raise their children, for not protecting our children, Lord, from the pornography and the evil, Lord, of the entertainment world that is in our homes, Lord God. There are so many abominable things in our homes, Jesus, that we have gotten so accustomed that we don't even realize how you see them. Lord, let us again begin to see ourselves and see the things we do and see the things that grieve your heart. Lord, let us see them as you see them, Jesus. We get on our knees today before you, Almighty God, and we repent for our sins, first of all, Jesus, and for the sins of our nation. We repent, Lord, for relying on government to meet our needs instead of you, Lord, for all these different programs, Jesus. We have allowed government everything because we think the government is going to take care of us. And, Lord, you're making it obvious to everyone, I think, that that is not a good God and it's not doing a good job and it's not supposed to do that job. Lord, we have relied, we repent for relying on only doctors and hospitals and drugs to heal our bodies when we're sick instead of turning first of all, Lord, to you for our healing and our health. Lord, you not only bought on the cross our health, but you want us to walk in divine health and healing continually. Father, we have allowed the schools, the liberal schools were full of humanism and wrong doctrines and teachings to teach and train up our children, where you gave us that responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. Father, we have turned over so many things to other gods, Lord, and we today come back. We want to bring this nation today, Father, with our prayers and our repentance. We desire, as this group of intercessors, to reset the coordinates of earth with the coordinates of heaven, Lord, that this nation will no longer be rushing full force off the course, Lord, that you ordained for it to be upon. Father, we want to reset this nation back on course, back into alignment with your divine purposes and plans. Father, we humbly come before you this day and ask you to help us to do that in the spirit realm this day, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Sharama Korea. Just turn it over to whoever else wants to pray. Thank you, Lord.
This is Loredan, and I would like to say a quick prayer. And Father God, I want to thank you that as you are resetting us, that you are giving us this chance to reset, to realign us to our true destination and our true calling to make this a nation, one nation under God. Yes. That you are calling out the pioneer in us. We are pioneering spirits, Father God. You have taught us how to pioneer. You have taught us who we are, and we may be a jack of all trades, and we might not know exactly our place in this earth, but we know that we know you, Father God. We trust you. We reset all of those mountains of entertainment in government and school with godly people that are pioneer a new way, your way, the way you chose it to be from the beginning, that we are to live by faith, by every word of the living God, that we are to have every word of that Bible come true. We are to prophetically speak out in every injustice that we have seen. We are to empty out the hospitals. We are to live by faith. We are to take care of our sisters and brothers. But the church itself is to embody who God is as a father, as a bride. We are to be that to our sisters and brothers. We are to help them along. And we are to be what we need to be to the whole world. We need to finally live up to the expectations that we believe that God is real, God is alive, he can do what he says he can do, and that he does heal, he does forgive, and it's not based on works, it's because he loves us, and he loves us, that he loves us, that he loves us, that he loves us, that he has given us the keys to the kingdom, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And as a pioneer, we are going out, we are doing things that are different, and the religious spirits are upset with us, Father God, and that's okay, because God, your arm is not too short to reach down and protect us, to have have even leadership is being shaken, Father God. They're being shaken in their boots because something different is happening. And the children are rising up with words of faith. And the children are rising up. This is going to be part of a youth movement where the children have the discernment and the there's no junior Holy Spirit. The children have the Word of God in them, and they are proclaiming to their fathers and their grandfathers for the first time as pioneering spirits, this is what is true, that God is true, and let every man be a liar, that we shall reach out. We shall reach the poor. We shall have revival. Why? Because we are going to love the unlovable. We are going to reach out and make sure that every person hears the gospel. We're not going to hide in our houses anymore. We're going to reach out into our neighborhoods, into the schools, into the workforce, in entertainment. We're going to stand up for virtue and valor. The angels marvel at us because we have virtue. We exhibit virtue through us. We choose virtue. We choose the way of the holy and living God. We choose to pioneer through all the red tape, through the government systems that they have in place, through the healthcare system, through the schools, everything that has become ungodly and an abomination. We are pioneering straight through that with the new coordinates to reset everything in every one of the seven mountains. And we shall pull down all the strongholds, and we shall remove people in power, because God will remove them, and God will rise up the leaders. And they may be young men, and they may be young women, but we are going to honor them and honor the God-given talents that they have and the Word of God that comes from their mouth. Oh, I thank you, Father God, that I'm a pioneer. I thank you for my sisters in Alabama that they're pioneers. I thank you for Marlis. I thank you for all the intercessors that you have placed me with. Thank you, Father God, that we are of one accord. Keep us of one mind, of one accord with the heart of Jesus, always praying to you, Father, as we are to just seek your heart on every matter. This is your country. You birthed it. You brought the first settlers here. And as we stood in Jamestown, many of us, and took communion in the original well, and we prayed prayers in the original church, we are bringing the coordinates and resetting things back to the beginning, the way it is supposed to be, with the Spirit of the living God. And you are returning the fear of the Lord in your people. The fear of the Lord and holiness is coming back into the Christian life. It is coming back into the schools. It is coming back into Seven Mountains in entertainment. The fear of the Lord and the holiness, and it's bringing with it its pride. Ooh, its prize. And we, and the reward is with us. We have the reward. It is the souls that we are reaching out to that we are going to bring with us as the bride of Christ. We are not a war-torn bride. We are not fallen down and scraped and our dresses all ripped. Jesus himself is coming back for us. We are going to be completely redeemed through the holiness of the gospel, through the holiness and the purifying things that we are doing in our own lives, that every day that we choose God over the way of the world, every day that we choose God over the world, we move more into that gifting of holiness, that God loves us. He accepts us. It's not by works. And we thank you, Father God, that you're doing this for us on a daily basis. Continue to encourage my sisters in Alabama for standing for the gospel, for standing for God, because he is a worthy God to stand up for putting everything back into the court system, and to stand with all of the people that are putting the Ten Commandments back into the justice system. Thank you. I pray for my sisters to be encouraged to know that God is with them. God is with us, and we will see it overturned. We will see it happen. We will be able to proclaim God in the courtrooms again. We will have justice for the unborn babies. We will end abortion this year. We will continue to pray for this ungodly thing to stop in our nation. We will no more slaughter our unborn children, Father God. We're putting an end, and I cry out to those babies in the womb, and my daughter knows one girl today that chose to have her baby and not have abortion as of last night. Father God, we've been praying and interceding that these children, hold on, babies, we're coming, we're ending abortions, we're praying for your mothers to see the truth. We are going to end this abomination. We are not going to allow it to allow the gates of all this stuff to come into America. We are going to end it once and for all. And each one of these categories, I pray for my pioneering sisters and the spirits to go forth like never before, to run and not grow weary, to do what God has called them to do, to not be afraid that no one can touch or harm them, that they will be completely protected to do what God has called them to do. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Mm.
Thank you.
This is Patty again. I just wanted to add one more thing. I felt in my spirit like the Lord was saying that we needed to pray for Richmond. It's our capital. And I felt like that we need to pray for our political leaders that maybe are having some second thoughts, or that they need to stand, that are believers, because we do have some believers that are in office in Richmond. So I just felt that in my spirit that we needed to stand for them, that whatever is needed, that they would have boldness. And I just pray for boldness for each individual leader in Richmond. Father, any sort of bill that they're about to sign or anything they're about to think about, Lord God, that you would come in their rooms and that you would give an encounter with them. They would have a visitation, Father God, that you would show them how real and how important this is. And I just feel in my spirit that we just need to intercede for our leaders in Richmond specifically. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Yes. Could I pray, this is Marlis, could I pray for Ken Cuccinelli, our Attorney General?
Yeah.
He was at our church just a few weeks ago, and he spoke, the Oak Initiative brought him in. And he's a godly man, he's a Catholic believer, but the words that he spoke were so prophetic as he stood in our pulpit at our church last month in June, and he said, "What we do not need politicians in Washington, D.C., they are not the answer." He said the answer is going to come from the pulpits of this nation. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And he said there have been great awakenings in the past. He said that, this man, bless his heart. And he said, we need to pray for another great awakening. He said that's the only hope for our nation. So, Father, we agree with the words of our Attorney General. We're praying for Virginia's government in Washington, D.C., in Richmond, Lord, and it's connected to Washington. Ken Cuccinelli we were the first state to sue the government for this health mandate. He started the charge, Lord God, and he is standing for righteousness. But at the same time, he said, it's about the fight. He said, when God calls us to do something, he said he wasn't even worried about the outcome because he knew they fought a good fight and they did all they could, and he was trusting you with the answer, Lord. So, Father, we do speak empowerment to our leaders, Lord, especially the godly leaders, but even the ones that are not. We pray that they will become godly leaders, Lord, when they take that oath of office. Lord, they are taking an oath before you, and so we hold them accountable from the president on down, Lord, to every seat of government in this nation, the Congress, the House of Representatives, our governors and mayors and attorney generals. Jesus, we hold them to the oath that they took to uphold the Constitution, Lord, and these godly documents of our nation, and we empower them to do the right thing, and we ask, Lord, that the fear of the Lord would come upon them, that they would not make evil any longer the law of this land, Lord, that you would raise up enough godly men and women. We stand behind them in intercession, Lord God. We know that when Ken Cuccinelli was here, a couple of us wrote down some prophetic words that you had to give to them, Lord, that he is to stand for justice, and he will not give in to the fear of man, but he will fear you and you alone, and he will do it humbly before you. So, Father, we pray for him and many others like him who will stand against the tide of injustice and the flood of ungodliness that is in this nation and would turn the tide back, Lord, towards you and a holy nation. We call this nation a holy, God-fearing nation once again, Jesus.
Lord, and holy and righteous, Father God. Holy and righteous, Father God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Diana, about a week ago, I heard him speak, and he spoke so forcefully, so powerfully, and to the point where for days after hearing him speak, I kept thinking about him. He was on my heart. He was on my mind. And I said, Lord, who is he? You know, what is this? And it was as if I heard he spoke not as the scribes and Pharisees, but with power and authority. You know, that's what they said about Jesus. And it was the Lord speaking through him. It was that anointing that God gives, that he spoke with power and authority. And that was very comforting. And then to hear you say what you just said is just, it is just so wonderful, so wonderful.
Oh, wow, praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Diana, if you would, you had such a beautiful prayer last night when you and I spoke. And Diana, if you would, did you pray for the pastors of this nation?
Thank you so much. Okay, but let me mention this. We have somebody in area code 804, and I don't know if they've already spoken, but I wanted to give them a chance to, if they would like, to pray with us. I really don't know who that is.
That's probably me. That's Marlis. I've got 804.
Okay, I want to make sure that I had everybody. And
yeah.
But,
I don't live in Williamsburg. I live in Charles City.
Okay. I will go before the Lord, and just He is such an amazing God. And, you know, we have so many testimonies of His goodness, and I think, you know, that's what He has done for me throughout the years, is just to enable me to grow so that I know, you know, what matters most. When there's nobody else, I know who is with me. And, you know, that's really all I need is Him. And so, well, I'm just, give all these things to me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we do not understand how you can love us so much that you would give your one and only precious Son to die on the cross for us, Lord. And Lord Heavenly Father, what you offer us is life eternal. And there is nothing more magnificent than that, Lord. You have made a place for us in heaven. We just praise you, Lord. We praise you for your word. And Lord, I just thank you for that word, all the words that have been given. And that one about Mary's song of praise, Lord, and us in the radio has, Lord, praise for us. And the special baby that now is going to have life, Lord. Have life. Lord, what a gift, Lord. That's what Mary's song of praise is about. Lord, you entrusted her because you made the womb, the woman's womb, Lord, to be a place of safety for your mighty son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, it has been subverted, Lord. This is who the enemy is. And we pray that many more will recognize who the enemy is. It is really not each other, but Lord, it is the evil one who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is a liar. He has not changed since the Garden of Eden, Lord Heavenly Father. He still continues to lie. He's somebody's child, somebody's daughter, somebody's son, somebody's wife, somebody's husband, Lord Heavenly Father. He continues to lie to them so that their family will be destroyed, so that their faith in you will not rise up, so that their faith in you will not be present. And Heavenly Father, we know that the only difference between us and someone who doesn't know you is that we have put our faith and trust in you, that you would walk with us every day, every moment, and that even though every day is not a mountaintop moment, Lord, we know with blessed assurance that, Lord, you will be there alongside with us, and that there is tomorrow. Lord Heavenly Father, we know so many people suffer. And Lord, a lot of them suffer because, as you say in your word, Lord, we perish for lack of knowledge. And Lord, for too long a time, Lord, our pastors, Lord, their hands have been tied behind their back. Lord, Heavenly Father, the comfort, Lord, has been so alluring. Lord, the money, the stature, Lord, Heavenly Father. And also the fear, Heavenly Father, the fear of not being able to provide for their own loved ones, their own family. Lord, it has come to the point, Lord, that the pastors, many of them, have forgotten that their first allegiance, that their first love, even over their families, is you. And Heavenly Father, because of that, many children have not been born. Many families have been destroyed. Many children are not being raised up in the training and admonition, Lord of the Lord. Because, Heavenly Father, your truth is not being taught at home or in our schools. And that, Lord, the truth is being, Lord, chased out even our government. And, Heavenly Father, if they could, they would even erase it, Lord, from these buildings, the testimonies where the family fathers have erected in stone. But, Heavenly Father, you are such a good God. And Lord, you are opening the door. You are opening the door. You are awakening, Lord, our pastors. And Lord, we just rejoice in the stories we have heard of our pastors, Lord. To have to remember who their first love is. Have remembered who is the defender of their own family. Have remembered who is the defender of their soul. Who has remembered who is the defender of this nation. Lord, of our lives. Lord, I just pray for your mercy, Lord, as we try to raise our own families, Lord, as we try to help our loved ones, our friends, to, Lord, to meet you, to come to know you, that, Lord, you would help our leaders to enact lives. Heavenly Father, we're alive and pleasing in your sight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that our pastors will again, as in the days of the beginning of this nation, Lord, open their mouths boldly, bravely, to stand with you, Lord, and your word, your truth, Lord. To set this nation free, Lord, from the bondage of evil. Lord, just set this nation apart to shine your light like a city on a hill. That all the world will see.
Yes, Lord.
Which is really great. Because our God, our Lord, Jehovah, is the one true God. And there is none like you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us. We ask that you help us again. Help us, Lord, to be better than what we've been. Help us. People as a nation, Lord. Help us to remember how you have raised us up, how you have loved us, how you have cared for us, how you have protected us. Lord, Heavenly Father, as you did Israel, God. Oh, Lord. We love and still love Israel. And when we come alongside Israel, God, we ask that you would help us. To bless you, Lord, to love you, to praise you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And we ask that your Holy Spirit, fire, Lord, be upon the pastors who, Lord, who truly love you, who is truly seeking after you in your way, that you would open those doors of opportunity for us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you from evil, Lord, Heavenly Father, that has been keeping the mouths of our pastors shut, and let them be our strong means.
Father, I just thank you for it. Unity, Father God, unity among the brethren, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Your word says that if we lift you up, you would draw all men unto you. And, Father, today, this day, the 4th of July, Lord God, that is what we are doing, Lord God. We are lifting you high, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are drawing all men unto you, Lord God, that, Father, none should perish, Lord God, in the upcoming days, Father God. Lord, we just join forces, Lord God, with our brothers and sisters, Lord God, around this nation, Lord God. Lord, I see us, Lord God, just as a powerful force going forth, Father God. Lord God, we're standing on the wall, Father God. We're ushering in, Lord God, your triumphant victory, Lord God, over this nation, Father God. We're calling forth, Lord God, the revival fires, Lord God, another great awakening, Father God, of your spirit, Lord God. Turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, Lord God. Yeah. Turn us, Lord God, back to you, Lord God. It's a holy reverence, Father God, a holy fear of you, Lord God. Turn this nation, Lord God, back to the one, Lord God, who created us, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord God, as Diana did for our pastors, Lord God, that, Lord, you would give them a revelation, Lord God, of your love, Father God. Lord, that they would turn their hearts back to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord, let the Holy Spirit just take over the services, for it is His. It is His house, Lord God, and man has made it their own, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, for rebuilding, Lord God. Rebuild your temple within us, Lord God, within our nation, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just cry out to you, Lord God. Rebuild, Lord God, rebuild this nation, Lord God, on this foundation. Mm-hmm. And that foundation, Lord God, is based on you, Father.
Thank you.
And so we thank you, Lord God, that this day is so important, Father God. I just feel again in my spirit, Lord, that ladies, that He is just ushering in. And as Marla said, it's a critical turning point. And, Father, we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, and we believe that that window is wide open, Father God.
Yes.
That the portal is wide open, Lord God. We're not going to let the enemy crouch upon our territory, for you have given us a plan, Father God, and we've taken it. We're not going to let go, Father God. We're not going to back down, Father God. But we're going to continue to move forward, Lord God, in you, Lord, because you are leading us, Father. And what you have brought about, Lord God, no man can come against it, Father. They may try to hurt us, Father God, physically or spiritually, Father God, but we're going to keep our eyes on you, Father, because you, Lord God, are the commander of the host, Father God. And so we follow you, Lord God, and we're led by your spirit, Lord God. And, Father, I thank you for these ladies, Lord God, and I thank you for the many more ladies, Lord God, that are going to be raised up, and the men, Lord God. We call forth the men, Father God. The men will take their authority in you, Lord God. Take your rightful position, Lord God, and head over the family, Lord God, and head over their children, Father God. Lord God, let them be those godly men that you call them to be, Lord God. Let them love their wives, Lord God, as you told them, Father God, that they would love the wives, Lord God, just as you love the church, Father God. But we call forth those godly men, Lord God. Raise them up, Father God. That's what we are lacking, Lord God. And so we just call forth the mighty men of valor, Father God, in this hour, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God. This is a reading. I'm reading Romans 12:1. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ooh, thank you, Father God, for the grace. And again, be kind and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, not preferring one another. And we do not avenge ourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. and let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that would be ordained of God, not the government, not the government systems. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for love haveth one another, and we fulfill the law and the love for one another. We thank you, Father God. Let us walk honestly in the day and not rioting, Father God. Help us not to have strife and envy and strive for power, Father God, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh, but we must fulfill the perfect law, which is love.
Yes.
Love covers a multitude of sin. There is no greater gift. There's no greater power than the power of love. For this revival, Father God, we are going to have to love our enemies. We're going to have to love the unlovable. We're going to have to love ourselves. We're going to have to love Christians in the church. We have to love everyone. Give us that love, the supernatural power of love that Jesus died for, that the blood covers, and that the love provides. There's no lack.
Amen. Yeah.
Diana?
Well, yes, Ms. Bob, is that you? I would like to ask you, Ms. Bob, you do such a fantastic job of reminding us about, you know, to pray for our military. Would you mind praying for our men and women and their families today?
I will. I wanted to share what's on my heart. I was thinking about the days of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. But, you know, it was the sins of God's people that broke those walls down in Jerusalem. It was their sin. And it was the sins of God's people here in this country that have broken down the walls of protection round about us. But just as it was God's people that rebuilt those walls of Jerusalem, so it will be God's people that rebuild the walls of protection here in this country. It was 236 years ago today that 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence put their signatures, they placed their signatures on that parchment. And when they did so, they were laying down their lives, knowing that it could and probably would bring death to them, to their loved ones as well.
Right.
There was one by the name of Caesar Rodney. He was from Delaware. And he literally signed his own death warrant that day because he had a condition, a terrible condition of cancer of the face. It was so bad that he covered his face with cloth. And he knew that the only treatment available for him and his condition would be in England. Well, Caesar Rodney was called back to his home in Delaware before the final vote was taken. And it was about 89 miles to his home from Philadelphia. And Delaware, each state had one vote, and Delaware was divided. So Caesar Rodney was sent for to be able to come for that final vote. And he mounted a horse in the dead of night, traveling as fast as he could, headed back toward Philadelphia. He went through swollen rivers and terrible storms. Caesar Rodney arrived at the State House there in Philadelphia at 1 p.m. July 4th, 1776, as the final vote was being taken. And he was in such a condition that he had to be half carried into the room. But he entered, and he was barely able to speak. And he said, as I believe the voice of my constituents and of all sensible and honest men is in favor of independence, my own judgment concurs with them. I vote for independence. And so that Delaware deadlock was broken, and the Declaration of Independence was adopted and signed, and he literally signed his own death warrant when he signed that document. The other remaining 55 delegates knew that death was a probability to them as well. On that day, July 4th, 1776, they declared our independence from Great Britain, but they also declared our dependence upon Almighty God.
That's right, They
said, for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance or dependence upon protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It was Sam Adams who had the final word. He said, we have this day restored the sovereign, with a capital S, to whom alone men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising of the setting sun to the setting sun, may his kingdom come.
Yeah. Amen. Wow. Woo. Awesome.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, may your kingdom come, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our military, our troops, and their families. Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, every one of those who signed that declaration that day, those 56 men, Father, they were willing to take up arms, Father, in defense of all that is good and right and true and decent and honorable. They were willing to take up arms, Father, in defense of their families. Father, we pray for those who are defending our freedom, our country, who are defending our families, Lord, at this hour, throughout this earth, Father. We pray for them and we pray for their families. Father, just as many of the families suffered in the revolution, Lord, so are many of our military people suffering, Lord, in various ways. We pray, Father, for all of them, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you, O God. Father, as they're sacrificing for us, I pray that you would lay it upon the heart of every one of your people, Father, that we're to sacrifice for them. They're not to be the only ones sacrificing, but we're to sacrifice our time. We're to sacrifice, Father, on our knees. Father, we're to sacrifice of our earthly goods. Just as our military, Father, they have needs. And some of those needs, Father, Lord, are not being met. I pray, Father, that you lay upon the hearts of your people, God, to meet those needs of our military and our families. And, Father, that we would love them enough that we would step up and step forward. That we would, Father, that we would require policies from our nation, Father, that would help them and support them in all that they're doing. Father, we pray your blessing upon them, Lord. But Father, we don't want to presume upon you to pray for that and yet not be willing to step up and help them ourselves. How can we pray, Father, and ask you to do things that we're not willing to be involved in?
Father, I pray that everything that we have prayed here today, that we and your people, Lord, would become active in, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And sacrifice, Lord. And I don't think, Father, we really know the meaning of it yet. But I pray, Father, that we would not be hypocrites, that we would not say one thing, pray one thing, and yet turn around and do something else and ignore and neglect what we have asked you for, what we have prayed for. Father, let us be your hands and your feet and your mouth and your ears on this earth as we're supposed to be. And Father, you are light. You say, let there be light, Father. Let the light within us, Father, let us carry that torch. Let us carry that light forward, Lord, for your purpose, your holy purpose, helping your people, oh God, in this country and throughout the world, through our brethren, for our brethren in Israel, Lord, your chosen people. Father, that we be active on their behalf as you are active on their behalf. Father, let us have your mind and hold the thoughts, the feelings, and purposes of your heart and act upon that, Father. Let us be doers of the word, Father, not hearers only. Father, I just pray for a stirring within us, Father, all your people, within all your people, Father, from the greatest to the least.
Yes.
Father of all ages, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, from the richest to the poorest, your people, Father, stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts, oh God. Stir up the gifts. Stir them up, Father, to do your will, Lord, your good pleasure, for your purpose. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we've got a new edition once really trusting in her heart to go to a place where she could lift up our nation. And Warren did, you know, we talked last night about this, and you had been somewhere and really, you know, you were disappointed. And so, but today, you know, Patty gave the idea last night, and I know that just warms your heart. So I'm going to just welcome Wanda and ask her if she would to just lead her into a prayer for whatever the Lord has led her to.
Okay. First, I wanted to share this dream that I had before when we got back from our Washington trip. I had this dream that we were on the metro, and we were coming up from the metro, coming up to the surface. And when we got up there, everybody was running around, just freaking out, and they were saying, oh, you got to go back down. Everybody's leaving the city. They're leaving the city. You know, and so, and they were saying, and you got to try to get through the metro before it gets dark, because once it gets dark, people down there just act like savages, and you can't be caught down there after dark. And so we were all afraid and trying to get down, and afraid we weren't going to make it back before it got dark. And so different people that we'd run into were giving us advice. Oh, you need to do this, you need to do this, you know, and but you got to get out of the city. It's not safe. And then they said, but once you get down on the subway, the metro, you get out of there, because those people act like cannibals after dark, and it's not safe. And we were asking, well, what do we do? What do we do? And they kept telling us, everybody kept telling us, you need to keep heading up. You keep heading up. And I just I don't know. As I thought about that dream and then all this stuff with the Supreme Court and how this decision, to me, it didn't rule the way I wanted it to rule with the Supreme Court thing about the health care. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like God was saying, you know what? You can't depend on man. You've got to look up and you've got to pray. And I kept thinking about that verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And I'm sure that verse has already been shared, but that's just more than ever, that's just been in my heart. And I've had this fear that people won't pray, that they won't pray, that I won't pray. Because to tell the truth, I have not prayed for this nation like I should have. I have not. And, you know, I'm just confessing that and asking y'all to forgive me. And so, you know, I just want to pray about that. That's what I'm going to pray. Lord, I just come and I just ask my sisters to agree with me in prayer, Lord, that we will pray, that we will sacrifice like Barbara talked about, and that we would be willing to get on our knees every day. And any time you quicken us to do it, Lord, that we would pray, that we would humble ourselves and sacrifice and take the time out of our busyness to pray, Lord. And I just ask you to forgive us, Lord, for not praying. Because the health care bill or a new president or, you know, the Tea Party, none of that is going to make a difference if we don't turn from our wicked ways. Right. So, Lord, we need your spirit to pour across this land.
Yes.
And bring repentance to our country, Lord. We need repentance, Lord. We need to ask for your forgiveness, Lord, because we have turned away from you and we have been depending on ourselves to fix everything. And we can't fix it. We cannot fix it, Lord. So we are coming in. We are asking for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We need you to have mercy on our country, Lord. Please don't let us fall into destruction and despair, Lord. We see it happening all around us, Lord. And Lord, I ask for mercy. I ask for grace. Lord, I pray that you would stir up in people's hearts to be bold and to speak out against evil, to be willing to speak the truth and not be fearful to speak the truth because
that's
it's
right.
not politically correct or it's not, you know, they may offend somebody, Lord, because we know the truth often offends in the beginning. But if you're a Christian and you're really wanting God to work in your life, if it offends you, you will seek God and ask him, Lord, is this true in my life? And then you'll change if you're willing to change. Otherwise, you're living in rebellion. So, Lord, we ask, God, that you would raise up Esthers and Daniels who would not bend, who will not bow their knee to any other God except you, Lord. And, Father, we need those Esthers who will go before the king, and even if she thinks he may kill her, she would still go before the king for her people, Lord. And that's what we need, God. We need pastors to do that. We need churches to do that. We need people in the Tea Party to do that, or the Congress, or wherever. We need people in the streets that are willing to, no matter what it takes, God, we want your presence in our country. We want your mercy. We want your presence, your spirit across this land again, God. We just need your presence here. We need revival, Lord. And I just pray, God, that our hearts would be so quickened that we could not keep our mouths shut, that we could not
right.
pray, Lord.
That's right.
Father. So we just ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Mm-hmm. Stir us up, quicken us, cause a fire to be in our bellies, Lord, like we've never had before.
Yes.
To seek your faith with all of our hearts, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you.
And Wanda, I want to share with you on Friday night at that Love Covenant Daughters prayer meeting, the Lord showed me, and it was for Afghanistan. But then on Sunday, when we were at our service, Sunday service, He brought it to my heart again when we had that powerful movement of repentance and just crying out for our nation, and He brought it to my heart. And Father, I repent for not being obedient. I felt like I should have shared it, but I felt like I missed the time. But now He quickened it again, Wanda, when you were sharing and you were praying your prayer. And that is that, yes, we are to stand up. And what He showed me was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as they, Nebuchadnezzar, building raising up his structure and you know, having them to bow down to him and his authority, his government, God had called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these godly men, and they did not bow down. And we all know the story how, you know, they were led into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the ways of the land and this government. And so that's what the Lord quickened in my heart for Afghanistan, and then He quickened it in my heart again on Sunday at our Sunday service, that He was calling out the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this hour, and we will be brought, and we will be led to those fiery furnaces, but God will be in the midst of us, and no harm will come to us. We will not be scorched by any fire. You know, the fires will be all around us, but God... The Lord Jesus Christ will be in the midst of us, and He will lead us out. Father, I just call forth, Lord God, during this hour, on this significant day, the 4th of July, Lord God, we call forth, Father God, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Father God, to stand up, Lord God, for godly principles, Lord God, just like it was brought out through Wanda and Barbara and Marlis and all these prayers that went forth, Father God. Raise up, Lord God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord God, who will, Lord God, not be afraid, Father God, and lay down their lives, Father God, for your glory and for your honor, Lord God, so that your will, Father God, can be brought forth, Father God, in this nation and around the world. In Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
So,
Patty,
let me go ahead and tell Wanda, if she just got on, Wanda, Patty is wanting us to have communion, so at this time, if you want to grab juice or something, get ready. But also, you know, I was just thinking through all these prayers, and, you know, we've prayed about the pastor, but Marlis, would you mind praying for, you know, the church? There are so many that I think, you know, they talk like politics is dirty. But I think, you know, what a gift from God that He allowed us in this nation to, you know, form a government with godly leaders. That was really the admonition that the founders had, you know, choose you men. You know, they got that from the Bible, says choose you men that fear God. And for us to, you know, cutting off the tree. That is what this founded on, this nation, on God's word. And we read God's word in our churches, you know, in our homes. We should know the truth in that we want the counsel of God in all things, most especially when laws are being made that are going to train children up away from the Lord. You know, God's word says it's better to hang a millstone around our neck than to do this, you know, to the little ones. And I think to myself, what are we doing in the body of Christ when we do not stand in the gap for the innocent children? These are souls, but it's not mine. And we love our sisters in our churches. We know that they are searching for God. They love Him. But for some reason or another, they have closed their eyes.
to that side of politics that really politics need their input. We need godly thoughts, godly ways in it. So if you don't mind, Monica or Patty, would you pray for our church sisters?
Yeah, Diana, you were coming in a little muffled, but I thought you said that you wanted me to pray for our churches.
Yes, Patty. I just think, like, there's so many in our churches that are very devout to the Lord that they're blinded, that they do not see that they have a part in the politics. And I think what a gift from God that is. We cannot do this to this gift from God. We must be... we must take our place in politics.
Well, God, I just lift up the leaders and Lord God, even just the regular church attenders, Lord God, because many, we are all called to be leaders, Father God, because we are all called to be priests, Lord God. And so I just pray, Lord God, over every congregation, Lord God, over every home cell, Lord God, where they are meeting in their homes, Father God, that, Lord God, that they would take up the cross, Father God, and follow you, Lord God, that they would have the boldness, Father God, to declare your word, Father God, to declare it in their homes, to declare it in the marketplace, Father God, Lord God, even to declare it up in Washington, D.C., Father God, to make that stand, Father God. Lord God, you said that, Lord, just as Barbara said it, Lord God, that once we know and we see, Father God, it is our responsibility, Father God, to do something about it, Lord God. So I repent, Father God, for the many times, Lord God, and I repent on the behalf of your people, Lord God, where we have turned our cheek, Father God, and we said, no, let the pastors do it, Lord God, or let the other leaders do it, or let our congressmen do it, Father God. So, Lord, I repent, Father God, for myself and for the half of my brothers and sisters, Lord God, who have not taken up the cross, Father God, who have not laid down our lives, Father God. And so, Lord, I just pray and declare, Lord God, that you are burning this desire in us, Lord God, to walk a righteous life, Father God, to walk, Lord God, in love, Lord God, and to walk a holy life, Father God, after you, Lord God, and always, Lord God, to want to do those things that are on your heart, Father God, and be obedient unto the unctioning of your spirit, Lord God. And so, Father, today, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for doing that work, Lord God, throughout the body of Christ, Father God, not only in this nation, Lord God, but among the nations of our allies, Father God, and Lord God, even our enemies, Lord God. I thank you for touching them, Lord God, and raising up godly men, Lord God, in those nations of our enemies, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, and would you like to go ahead and do the communion about now? Or does anybody else have a word? Or
I have something. This is Loretta, and I have something. And as Marlis had said about how we were really off track on the original intent of the nation, and also how we were talking, and I guess, Barbara, you were mentioning about Nehemiah. The Lord was stirring a whole lot of stuff up in me that I have been learning. And so now we need to rebuild, you know, the broken walls, but also the broken covenants and repent for that. And God was showing me that also that the picture of the covering from the intercessors and the prayer partners, how important this is, and that going back to Nehemiah, how he refused to abandon the great work that he was doing, and the way that they, that 94 years of broken walls for his time and error, they rebuilt it in 52 days. And that the Lord's going to give us a quick and mighty work, that we're going to do this very quickly. And some of the really key things that God wanted me to share was that in the process of building it, that, you know, we do have many challenges, that the enemy sends threats and lies and discouragement to the intercessors. But during every opposition, Nehemiah stayed focused on the task, and he prayed for the opposite of some of the challenges he even faced. And that these workers worked with a weapon in one hand and a mortar in the other.
They kept their eyes focused, but they continued to build. And that's some of the things that the intercessors are doing in this very hour. We carry one weapon in our hand. And even as it says in the book of Acts, look on their threats, but grant to your servants that they will have boldness, that they may speak your word. And the place was shaken, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So, of course, our weapon is the word of God. And Nehemiah had all the people stationed in the gaps of the wall, helping to rebuild it and also to defend at the same time, as I think, Diana, you were also talking about standing in the gap, that we need to encourage believers in this hour that, you know, the weapons of warfare are not against flesh and blood, which we know, but to remind us that when the enemy does these things, causes abortion, causes these things to happen, causes the government system to overtake us, that we're just going to work harder, because that's what Nehemiah did. When the enemy came on, they worked harder. They were more unified. And again, we need to stay in unity of purpose with our mission so that we can get this done. Our very faith is the door to the realm of the unseen and the grace of God. We are warring worshipers. Our faith is being spoken, and the word of God and the Spirit activated, and we actually can just quench the enemy. We can. And our faith links us with other believers, and our strength is shared as we defend our land. And I would ask maybe if Robin is there, if she would lead us in a prayer.
Amen.
And we also need to take communion.
Okay, so we will take communion. According to the blessing of the Torah, we speak this in the book of Numbers 6:22. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron and his son. You shall bless the people of Israel and say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord deal kindly and graciously with you. The Lord bestow his favor upon you and grant you peace. This shall they link my name with the people of Israel, and I will bless them. And we speak this for America today. As we lift up our morsel of bread or cracker, we say, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And we lift it up and we break it in our hands as a symbol of his brokenness. He already paid the price for us. So we take this and we eat. And now we lift up our cup and we say, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine. We too are vines, and we too partake of this wine, and as a symbol of his blood that has been paid for all our iniquities. So we lift up our cup and we drink. We thank you, Lord, because today you've given us a legacy from our forefathers. You gave us yourself, God, and you gave us the Word, the Bible. So we thank the forefathers, and we make a vow today in front of the world. We say, I will trust in God, and I will read your Word. And as many days as you give us on this earth, Father, we will acknowledge the price that others paid for our freedom, because we are free people because of the price they paid. And we honor our military. We bless them. We bless the intercessors for the price they pay daily, because Satan is attacking. But let the ladies know that he who began the work, he will finish it. God is in the throne, and he will not let go of his daughters. So you sing and shout and rejoice, daughters of Zion, because he will lift you up, and he will not leave you or forsake you, because you have been called for such a time as this. So be strong, because people are looking at your walk, not so much your talk, but your walk. So you walk knowing that you are being led by the Holy Spirit. And they will see it, and they will know that there is an empowerment over the ladies today, because you have dedicated a time to honor God. So I bless you, my sisters, and I say shalom.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I would like to add this as confirmation, I think, to what Luridian was saying. We were talking about Nehemiah and the 52 days for building the wall, and I'm trying to find my prayer journal where I had written that down. But that, you know, one of the things that God gave me to start the radio show City on the Hill was Nehemiah and the 52 for building the wall. As a matter of fact, when he told me, start the show on 9/11/2004, I said, Lord, why? And he led me to a calendar on my refrigerator, and I counted 52 days on my wall, and that was the November election. And, you know, that was a very pivotal election because of what happened, you know, the CAD and all that, Enigma, you know, and we were part of that rebuilding. And so I'm believing now that I'm, you know, it's kind of like I'm turning the torch over to the national, which is Patty, all of you there in Williamsburg, from the Jamestown settlement. This is God's will. And so exciting, Miss Barbara, you know, Wanda, because, oh my goodness, this is what he's doing. He had raised up what we did, a step of faith, a small thing. And now he is giving it to y'all. He is enlarging it. And what a blessing it's going to be. It's a miracle. You know, people's got to hear the story of how we met. But, you know, it's got to be a God appointment. And, Luridian, you just confirmed that. Again, you know, we get so many confirmations. And, again, I just got that other confirmation. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, this has been a tremendous blessing, I believe, for all of us. But I tell you, particularly for me, I am just so blessed with my sisters in Christ and this precious time that we've had together with the Lord. And, you know, I will always treasure it and treasure the time in Jamestown. And I have to, I think that maybe we are to begin to expect the unexpected. I want to tell you, stay in Jamestown.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. Well, y'all, that day in Jamestown, that was so totally out of the blue, unexpected. You know, and y'all, every one of you know how I was just overcome with the glory of the Lord. And that was so unexpected. Well, yesterday, I got to tell you this because it fits in somehow. Yesterday, I'd been in the Word, but I came back to my prayer chair and sat down expecting. This is what I was expecting. I was expecting to spend a very short time getting some work done here, you see. I mean, I had a lot of things on my plate for the day. You know, I thought I did. Anyway, I was expecting just sort of a quick time of prayer. And then the unexpected happened. And the Lord joined me. And I was just blown away. And so it's like, just like that day in Jamestown, it's like totally unexpected. So maybe the Lord's saying, like, to begin to expect the unexpected, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I am grateful for y'all. I'm very grateful. And I'm so thankful that we've had this time together. And I love each one of you, and I just thank the Lord for you.
I'd like to ask you, you know, you were so good about bringing your guitar to our Jamestown Adventure Award. If there's anybody else that has anything else to say, go ahead and say it. But I'd love for you to close this with a praise, and we can just join you, Ms. Barbara.
With a song?
Yeah.
Okay. There's one on my heart. Is there anyone who would like to say something?
Say something before we close, though.
Patty, this is Marlis.
Yes.
I just wanted to share something that happened while we were praying. Sunday, you know, when the angels visited us at Green Springs, Marie Dyke, she's an awesome intercessor at our church also, and she came up to me before she left, and she had a feather. She said, "The angels left you a feather." And this morning, as we've been praying, I've been pacing back and forth here, interceding and joining in my family room down in the basement, and I saw something on the floor, and it's this little white feather.
Aww.
And it's curled over. It looks like a little miniature quill. You know how those feathers are white and they curl over?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. And there's nothing down here that there could have been a feather come out of. So I believe those angels joined us today with our prayers for the nation. I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Deliver us, O Lord. Deliver us, O Lord. Deliver us, O Lord. And let your presence fill this place.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Well, we're just really thrilled for this time together with the Lord. You know, all of us were joining the Lord. The Lord is present.
Amen.
And
we look forward to having more of this because, Patty, you were maybe every other Friday. We can join you on Friday night. I think you were saying the next one maybe is July 14th. Is that right? Or did I hear that wrong?
July 13th is our next meeting. That is on a Friday at 7. 7:30 is when we really get started, but the doors are open at 7 Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay. Maybe we can join you and listen in to the prayer meeting.
That would be fantastic.
That's our Friday, our show then, and let people join you as y'all, pray. So we want to do that. So I just want to thank everybody, and it's just so amazing because I know that everybody's probably got family things that they're expecting to do, and I thank God y'all had a heart for this, and my goodness, when Patty said that, it's like I started calling, the others, and it's like, yes, we want to pray. We want to pray together. So, thank y'all. Thank God.
Thank you, ladies. We love you.
Love you too. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Happy Dependence Day upon God.
Amen.
if I'm blessed, go ahead. I'm sorry. Before we started the show, I'd like to ask all of you today, if you can, to read Psalm 34. Isn't that the song of Barbara in the American Revolution? Was that Psalm 34? Have that?
35?
Okay, I thought it was Psalm 34. Okay, let's see, Psalm 35. But I think I'd love to ask y'all to just join today sometime and when you have a chance and just pray that out loud. I just think, it's like we are revisiting, the foundation of this nation. And they asked God. That was a prayer of intercession, wasn't it, Ms. Barbara?
Yes, it was.
So we want to do that.
Yes, it's Psalm 35. The Lord, the avenger of his people. Wow.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Wow.
Well, okay. Can you read that, Miss Barbara? If you have it open, why don't you just read it now?
Okay, I will. It's verses 1 through 28, the Psalm of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help and draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him? Yes, the poor and needy from him who plunders him. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered together. Attackers gathered against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me and did not cease. With ungodly mockers at feasts, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. They also opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. This you have seen, O Lord. Do not keep silence. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who exalt themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Amen.
Wow. Powerful words. Oh, and powerful intercession. And God heard them. God heard them. What a miracle. The United States of America is, Ms. Barbara and everyone. And I think we all are the beneficiary. And so I just want to say God bless each of you, and may God shine his face upon you, and may God bless you and your family. May God bless you with health. We just thank you, Lord, that we can give everything to you in prayer. So we lift all our brothers and sisters up, Lord, these that are with me on this program today, Lord, and their families. We just lift them up. We lift one another up to you, Lord, asking for your mercy and grace upon us as we, Lord, go and do your will for our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, thank you, ladies.
Amen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.